No pressure. We're not saying that we're going to do anything, but we want you to see what's being done and to learn a little bit about another part of the world where they are struggling to reach people for Christ. So we're going to start with Latvija. It's up there on the board. Every J is a ya sound, okay? So don't get it mixed up with the Spanish ha. It's not Latvija. Yeah. So we're going to just go through some slides and kind of show you some things and talk about it and let you get a feeling for what we have seen. Now, California, you can see there with Latvia. And then we put Amador County over there on the right, just so you can kind of get a vision for how big we're talking. It's not that big.
It has.
And it's very cold.
Has about 2 million people.
Okay. You can see it in Europe there. It's below Norway, Sweden, and Finland, but right next to Russia. Russia loves these countries right in here, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, because they surround a bay, a large bay that never freezes over. And Russia doesn't have a bay like that, so they're very strategic. This is the capital city of Riga, and it's in the center of the country. You can see a seaport. You can see a big river going out there. And this is where Esther was born. Woo! Esther's father was the music director in this large Baptist church, downtown Riga. But her mother did not want to wait till choir practice was over. And so we know that story. But beautiful church. The problem is we've had Russian occupation that closed all the churches. This church was used for other things. And the Baptist leaders were all taken off to Siberia and other places. So they were left without leaders for 50 years. So the Baltic Pastoral Institute, the BPI, has started training pastors. Most of these pastors do not have college education. They're sometimes right out of high school. They're very young. Some of them are new Christians, but they're trying to build Baptist work back up in the country. You can see the bishop of Latvia, our Baptist bishop, and they call him that because that's a good term that's right out of the Bible. It doesn't mean what we think it does with the Roman Catholic background, but it does mean he's the head of the group there. Bishop Petrus, they call him Peter sometimes, Sprogus. In 2016, we see that we have 88 Baptist churches around the country. 23 church plants. That's what they're really concerned with, getting these churches started. 6,500 church members. It's very small. In a country that has how many?
2 million.
2 million, and only 5% of those 2 million are Christians. And that's including the big Roman Catholic, Russian Orthodox, and Lutheran churches. Baptists are very, very few in that group.
I think I can add one thing.
Sure.
Notice that the bishop came in 2006. In 2007, they began to put together the Baltic Pastoral Institute, and there's a booklet on the back counter in the vestibule that you can flip through. But they began to realize they needed to do something. The leadership had been decimated over the years, and they needed to bring in new blood. And that little pamphlet gives you a good overview. And a lot of the help they got in coordinating their efforts were some Baptist pastors in California. Now they're in Oregon. But it was really neat to see how, in a short amount of time, they had organized themselves to begin the strengthening of their churches.
For 150 years, they were started 150 years ago, but because of, now that's before World War I, Germans came in, then they were chased out, the Russians came in, then the Germans came back, World War II, and then the Russians came in and stayed 50 years. So, again, it was the seaport they were really interested in, but it's a very beat-up country in the meantime. So Baptist work suffered. They are trying to build and train new people, and they have these camps in the summer that we want to show you a little video clip on. And they have young men, especially, they're trying to reach. Of course, they like the girls too, but this is their main thrust, is to get the men of the future. I think it should be on.
You'll need to read quickly because this does give you a good overview of what happens at a draft camp.
Okay, let me see if we can get the audio up here. Hold on a second. I thought it was set up before, but I'll see what I can do. Oops, I can't get it down. Let me see. Okay, my audio's up, but it's not coming out. Okay. Let's go down here. Oops, it's here. That. Okay. I know, but there's talking and other things that we want you to hear. So if we can't get it.
No pressure. We're just watching.
Pressure. Getting my slideshow up here for some reason. Unless it's there and I just can't see it. Is it showing? No.
No.
I'm not showing from here now. I'm playing here, but it's not showing up there. So, Chuck, you might need to come and look at this thing. Help me. I'll start.
He was going to it really quick this afternoon. Just.
But now there's an audience.
Yeah. All right. I don't know why it isn't working. I'm pushing slideshow, pushing current things. Nothing's coming up. Shall I shut down and start over? I just started over and see what's. There it is. Is it up?
Yeah.
Okay, let's just move forward then. Let's see if it'll work this time.
One tap.
No, two.
Oh, two?
But still no sound. I know, but I want you to hear music later. You got something else with this? Well, I suppose.
Tas pilsētas viņai palicis, ka es redzēju kāds citu vecākie brāļi izrādīt, tad man liekas tāda cieši pieķeršanos jaunākajiem dalībniekiem, ka viņi tā, viņi bija interesēti, viņi dzīvēs, ka viņi pēc tam veidoja kaut kādu kontaktu ar viņiem, ka nebija tā, ka viņi aizgājas kaut ko savu draudzi un tad pārtrauksās attiecības.
Pirmajā draftā runājam par aicinājumu. Protams, ka mēs jau nesagaidām, ka viņi pirmajā draftā pieņems lēmumu, ka viņi grib būt mācītāji vai kalpot draudzē. Bet mēs gribam, ka viņi sāk par to lūgt.
Drafts man palīdzēja saprast to, ko nezinu būt vīrietim.
Remember this guy.
Pirmais aicinājums.
We'll see him later.
Tad drafts es sapratu, kā es varu būt labs vīrs savai sievai, kur man vēl nav. Kā es varu būt, kā es varu mīlēt vienkārši tas cilvēks. Tāds vīriešu aicinājums. Un tad tu saproti, ka Dievs tev to aicinājis ne tikai nometnē draftā, bet to viņš ir aicinājis visai tavai dzīvei. Pēc tam iet kalpot, mīlēt un sludināt to vēstu arī citiem cilvēkiem.
Otrais līmenis. Tajā nometnē mēs vairāk gribam, lai puiši izdzīvo, ko nozīmē uzņemties atbildību un būt misijā. Jo mēs gribam, ka katrs vīrietis draudzē ir aktīvs, ka viņš iesaistās un kalpo.
Dalībniekiem ir jāiesaistās fiziskos uzdevumos, aktivitātēs un spēlēs, kuras Džekiem ir nepieciešams, lai saprastu to, ko mēs vēlamies viņam pateikt. Apsēžoties pie galda, runājot pie kafijas tases, Džek to nespratīs. Bet piedaloties visādos uzdevumos, piedzīvojot fiziski to, ko mēs pēc tam viņiem mācam, ko viņi dzird no Dieva vārda, no vecāko brāļu pieredzes, viņiem tas saslēdzās kopā. Es ticu, ka viņi to saprot daudz vairāk.
Kurš tic Jēzum Kristum, mēs pacēlām rokas, uzreiz visu pumpējāmies. 10 reizes, pēc tam atkal piecēlāmies, atkal kurš tic Jēzum Kristum, atkal jāpumpējā 10 reizes. Un tas man ļoti daudz palīdzēs kalpojot, tad, kad saprot, tu gribi padoties, tu gribi aiziet projām. Tad tev skan galvā, vai tu tici Jēzum Kristum? Saka, nu jā, es ticu, un saprot, nē, es saņemu rokas un iešu tālāk.
Savukārt, trešais līmenis. Tas ir drafts, kur mēs gribam nu, tā tādā nākamajā soli izaicināt šos puišus, un mēs gribam, lai viņi brauc jau ar savu komandu, ko viņi ir veidojuši veselu gadu. Un tur mēs, kā vadītāji, mēs vairāk esam kā mentori. Tad mēs redzam, ka teiksim, ir puiši, kuriem pēc trešā drafta ir šis aicinājums kalpot, ir šis aicinājums arī, iespējams, kādu dienu kļūt arī par mācītāju. Vai par draudžu dibinātāju. Tad mēs viņam dodam tādu nākumu izaicinājumu, ko mēs esam tāds par augstāko līgu, par BPI, kur viņi kļūs arī par BPI studentiem pēc tam.
Pārsvarā nometnis kaut kas par kaut ko individuālu, par tevi kā personību. Drafts arī daudz strādā pie tā, lai viņi spētu sastrādāties komandā, strādāt kā komanda, mācīties vienam otru. Saprast, izprast, komunicēt un vispār strādāt uz vienu mērķi.
Es gribētu redzēt, kad šie džeki, tad, kad viņi paaugsies, kad viņi kļūs par vīriem, par tēviem, viņi būtu tādi, kurus pasauli labrīno, uz kuriem skatoties, viņi tiek cienīti, jo viņi ir mīloši, gādīgi, vīri, kuri uzņemās atbildību, kur rūpējās par savām ģimenēm, par draudzēm, darbvietās par saviem darbiniekiem, ka viņi ir vadītāji. Viņa vadītāji, kur ietekmē citu cilvēku dzīves Jēzum par godu.
Domāju, tas lielākais izaicinājums draudzēs un vīrietim, kā kristietim, ir uzņemties atbildību un izcīnīt savu taisnību. Nu, ne tā, kā tikai ar vārdiem izcīnīt, bet būt atbildīgs, risināt kādas problēmas vai situācijas, kuras ir radušās.
Kas man iedrošina un iedvesma turpināt draftu ir, ka es redzu tos brīžus, kad pusaudzis puisis, sēžot vakarā pie ugunskura nometnē, pieceļās kājās, viņš saka, es gribu apliecināt Jēzu kā savu glābēju. Es gribu sekot Jēzu. Vai kad mamma vai tētis man atraksta ēpastu un viņš saka, jūs ziniet, ka mans dēls pēc draftu nometnes ir nolēms kristīties. Vai kad es redzu, ka puisis pusaudzis, kurš ir kādreiz bijis draftā, tagad ir mācītājs draudzē, viņš vad draudzi. Un ka viņš tagad jau uz draftu aicina savus jaunos pusauģus, kas ir viņa draudzē. Tad es saprotu, ka tas ir tā vērts un ka draftam ir jābūt šeit Latvijā.
So the Baptists are trying to build Baptist work from the young up because the old 50 years ago have been taken away and there's been nothing since then. It's a very young work again. We had the privilege of going from Riga in the middle over to the left to the western side in this peninsula that surrounds that big bay I was telling you about and working with a fellow named Norris, I guess you would say, but it's Norris with N-A-U-R-I-S. And Norris is sort of a circuit rider. He kind of starts in one place and goes in a big circle around, and he has preaching points, and he has men that he is mentoring and helping them to work in preaching points and pastoring and those kind of things. There's one fellow, the young man that was talking in the beginning of the video clip, is his special helper right now. He's still in school, but he goes everywhere Norris does and now and then gets something to do himself. But most of the time he's watching, and then he'll go into working and being watched, and then he'll have responsibilities on his own.
While we were traveling, and this area is called Kurseme. The country is in four regions. Kurseme is the name of one. There is a booklet out there. You can flip through that, and that's where Norris and his church plants are working. But the young man that he mentioned, he had a clunker of a car, and while we were driving, he was trying to sell it. Well, we had another gentleman in the car from California that's our volunteer coordinator, Mike Bibbins, and he says, it was just so fun to watch a young man just maybe a year or two out of high school begin to be mentored, but yet having to deal with the day-to-day problems of getting a more dependable car. But it was fun.
So we're going to start in a little town called Tulsi. You can see where it is there. And in Tulsi, we found, let's go back. This is a beautiful little town. It surrounds a little lake. And in fact, Norris grew up to the right below that church, which is a Lutheran church. Of course, the Lutherans weren't doing very much at the time, but he kind of told us that he kind of resented living right there under a church and never being told about Jesus. And then later, as he became a Christian, he said, well, Baptists tell people. We like that. So he has his own story to tell. This is Norris in the center, and it's a few years ago when they made this little video clip. His wife, Sunita, to the right, to his left. And then some other people that we're going to see later. The guy kneeling down, for instance, we'll see later on. That's Alexander. And then the guy on the far right is another one we'll talk about in a minute. You want to say something more? Okay, let's go and watch this one. These are only about 3 or 4 minutes apiece, so it won't take long. You see how dark and cold it looks?
We are a church planting team in Pastende. It all started with my pastor, Edgar Sprewald, who taught me to live out the gospel. I realized that the best way one can live out the faith is within the community, which is based on mutual and loving relationship. So one day God showed me some close friends from whom our team was formed. Our team consists of 7 people, where 3 of us are students of the Baltic Pastoral Institute, and I and Anders Jägerman are the preachers. Our vision is that there is a leader in every town and village of the region who can testify with his or her life about Christ, and who can help others to grow in Christ. The one who, in cooperation with other leaders, could reach out other places. We have understood that the community has to be like a family, as it is written in Acts chapter 2. They were together and had all things in common. We live by this principle. We believe that we will be recognized by the love that we have amongst us, and thus we can be a testimony in everyday life. We don't keep ourselves apart from the society, but we are where God has put us in. We minister in different places. We minister in such small villages as Neveja and Pitrex, but most of the time we minister in the places we live. With some of the team members, we decided to attend the gym, and at the same time inviting our acquaintances who are not Christians. As the time went by, we created relationships with some of the attenders. I can see how God uses us. People get to know us better, and they want to get to know Christ as well. We work, study, do sports, and have fun as ordinary people. But we are aware that we are God sent and segregated for His mission. We want to be the light so that people would see the invisible God. I found out that my neighbors attended the gym, and I decided to join them. I knew that they were Christians. I had questions that were answered. One day I was invited to come to their church, and I agreed. This is how I started to get to know God. And now I'm together with them, and very soon I'm going to profess my belief to God and people by being baptized. I'm very thankful to God that I can be with those people. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our goal for the next year is that Jurs Popens with his family will start leading this small group. But I and Anders Jēgermans with our families would start another group in Talsi.
Small group getting started in Talsi, and the fellow that baptized, that was standing next to Norris in the baptism, was his assistant, who's now graduated also from BPI, and he's remaining in Talsi to work with this sports center and this small group, whereas Norris now has moved on.
One thing that I really appreciated, our first meeting was in his home for Norris to share with us. And when we finished, I said, gee, I'd like to have what you've just shared. And he says, oh, just go to YouTube and look go to Small Groups Talsi. So that video came from, anyone can access that.
In his testimony, you saw him with an old man that he said brought him to the Lord. So there are some old Baptists still kind of around somewhere. Some of them are in a church building like this now, which was taken over by the Russians, but then given back by the Latvians when they got independence. They said, well, this was a Baptist church, so Baptists come, take your church. So they've got a building, but you can see they don't have very many people. However, that's a start. This is the gymnasium that they've been helping to renovate and turn into a sports center. You can see a little balcony up there at the top left, and they meet in a little room up there for Bible study and prayer.
This had been a wood mill, and the government has wanted to bring some recreational opportunities to this community. And Norris and his people have found a man of peace that it was willing to work with them. And you heard the testimony of the young men that started going there. And as a result of their Christian witness, Ed will share more, but the renovation is being taken care of by the government, but they could possibly use some help.
Stairs, they have this attic area. And later on, we'll see where Yuri is living, and it's not really adequate for his family. So they're kind of hoping they can make this into an apartment, and then he'll be there at the sports center all the time. At the sports center, we've got a ground for volleyball. We have basketball. Over to the left was this field for soccer, and it has a track all the way around. So things are set up, and inside the gym, you can see it's very well provision. They have a weight room. Some of the people we want you to get to know are listed here. The person on the far left is the young man that we were talking about, Carlos. He's still in school, but he is the assistant to Norris, who's over on the right now with his wife. There are a couple of girls there that are twins. They're just part of this group that meets in Talsi. The guy next to Carlos is Alexander's, who was baptized and is now a very strong witness in this group. He also tried out as a weightlifter for their Summer Olympics or something and won all sorts of medals and things, so he's very strong. The guy in the middle is our man of peace. He's not a Christian yet, but they're working on it. The guy to the right is Juris, or Yuri, as he's called. And he is the one who's become the pastor for the group. Then Norris, of course. But Yuri was liked so much by this director, the center director, that he's asked him to be his replacement. He wants to retire. And you can see he's about my age, so he needs to. He needs to retire. But Yuri is liked so well. And he's also a weightlifter and all of that, very, very much an athlete. So here we are with the old guys. But you can see all those trophies that they've won. So it's a very prestigious little sports center and has a good reputation.
It's not just for really severe, strenuous activities. This area where the trophies were is set up for older folks to come in and play checkers. They've figured out a way to create a miniature golf course without paying for each little hole, which was about $900 for the portable thing. They were able to get the plans and make them themselves. The gentleman here was very proud of the fact that they did quality work. He even built a long jump pit inside the gym, and he had to purposely show me how he designed the lift to move the floor and so forth. So they're taking pride in providing an athletic atmosphere for the community.
And the outside is good, but it's not used 6 months of the year when there's snow on the ground. So this is very important to come inside. Yuri is there. Now we're going to go from Tulsi up along the coast to Roya. And in Roya, you'll see there's a lot of green area there. It's sort of a summer resort place in some ways. But this is where Norris now lives with his wife. This was taken with him, so you can see it was a little bit cool in April. And this is the little group that was meeting in his home when we met them. And they shared some meals, some snack things with us that day. And then Norris wanted to give us, the visitors, a view of his philosophy of ministry and what some of his goals were. So he had this little flip chart, which we were pretty impressed with, that he had all this stuff planned ahead. And it was really cute. But Bob was able to film a little bit. So listen carefully to his speech.
In front of the
he says, I can't speak English very well here. Oops, it's not coming out again. I wanted you to hear him speak his English. Let's see, what happened? There it is. Let me start it over, because I want you to hear that first little bit where he says, my English is not so good. He's real. Let me see if I can find it again.
I'm in English, so I really do my best. So.
He actually got better during the week after being with us.
This starts with I 22 years live without Christ, and I don't was in church at all. Not all. But I live close by, 16 years close by Lutheran church in Tulsi. But I don't be in this church because I don't know this old building and in my family, my parents they are not believers and we don't talk about God or believing. Then I met Sanita. Mm-hmm. I very like it.
Where's Sanita?
Then we start to dating, and she told about she's belief, and so I think I am a man. I can do this. I go to she's church. Small church nearby Baltic Sea, Pitras. There is countryside, old fishermen's houses, few.
Yeah.
But there is a church, one of the first church in Latvia.
Mm.
I went there and there I met this pastor Edgars, and I was 22, he was 70, but we came to really good friends. I see he very humble and very righteousness man, and this kind of man I see first time in my life, because in the world you can't see that man. And he invited his home, and then there I see difference how he speaks with his wife, how he do this everyday things, and I think this is very impressive for me.
Mm-hmm.
So and he makes it like a small group, and invite he lived in Tulsi as well, and but he was a pastor in this small village, 70 kilometers from Tulsi, and but he invite us together in this small group, and we read the Bible and know God, and time go, and I am there pastor in his place. Here he is with Jesus now, and he helps me from upstairs. this for me, I don't have a like a grandfather, and he was my grandfather, and I enjoyed that. He was a very good man. And that's why I stay in the Petrarch's. This was the main, because what he preaching I don't understand at all. I think this is weird. Like I don't know, never heard about gospel, and I don't understand. But I see in this man this values who I really like, and I think this. I want these values as well. Then we made a new family with my wife, and we start to help minister in Petrarch's. We start youth ministry, because we was young.
Sure.
And
you're still young.
Yes. We start youth ministry, and also we start in Tulsi small group, because we see how this small group with my pastors make changes for us, and we make small group in our old flat in Tulsi, and so we invite.
Little, but that's all right. We're going to keep going. Picture of what he's like in his testimony. He talks about a little town we'll go to in a few minutes where he met the old man. Okay? And this is, you'll see a lot of trees in Latvia, but they never grow any bigger than this. That's the biggest tree I saw, I think, right there. But you'll see behind the trees there are some block buildings that were built by the Russians, apartment buildings for people. These particular apartment buildings look pretty nice, and this is where he has his home right now, in about the second floor, was it? Mm-hmm. Second floor. But the building on the right looks just like it, and it was set up for retired teachers.
Right? One was teachers, one was for city employees. And, buddy, we've been to Russia. They're identical. All buildings are the same. These were nice compared to what we saw.
Yeah,
and that's the reason for it. They were for the more educated, the common people, and we'll show some others.
So they've got a lot of old people, retired people in the other building. Now, remember, Russians taught their people that when you get to a certain age and retire, you are no longer worthy of anything because you can't contribute to the society. And socialism and communism says, you know, you must be a worker. And so they're useless people. And these are children of that communist era who are now trying to start Baptist churches, and they have no vision at all for old people. They're just old people in that building over there. But Norris has been to visit all of them and welcome and tell them he's in the other building. The other building, there are more younger people and with children. So he says ways of starting a ministry in the area was to try to get the families with children and do something for the children. So that's one of his visions, but we kind of put the idea in his mind, well, you could have older people taking care of the children. What? Never heard of that. Well, don't you have grandparents that do that? No, our grandparents don't do that. So it's a very different society. We're seeing a little culture shock in that. Oh, question, Ina?
Yeah, my husband and I have been going to Japan.
Yeah.
Some of the workers, some of the work there. I don't know if they
Yeah, yeah. Well, these people, of course, most of the people in that little group in his apartment, which is their church, have children. So they have an interest in children, of course. Now, sometimes the Baptists have someone had a volunteer group come out and bring these things for a backyard Bible club, and they pack them up every year, and they take them to different parts of the country and use them kind of like our disaster relief trailer. They bring this stuff places and have block parties. So he kind of envisioned something like that, I think. But these old buildings, these Russian-made buildings with these old people in them, kind of touched our hearts and made us think, well, surely there's something old people can do, and you can reach these people for Christ because they need to know about Jesus too. None of them have had an opportunity for 50 years to hear anything, basically, except communism is your God now. That's what they learned. So we're still there on the coast. This is Roya. And on the coast, you have a lot of fishing, and you have some pleasure boats, not too many, but because summer's not very long. But in the summer, they also have sports events, and so the Russians built this little stadium there. And they have a team that plays around the country, and they're very proud of their team. They also have beautiful beaches in places. Other beaches are very rocky, but this particular beach has a big crowd of tourists who come from all over, especially Finland, Sweden, places that are going south for the, you know, for the summer. And so this is one of his target groups. There's some way they can reach the young people there. Now, he talked about where the old man was and where his wife lived. That's this place at the top, Petrox. And this was just a tiny little village, a little fishing village up on the coast. He says he's now the pastor. And he is, but again, it's a circuit riding kind of thing. He's kind of the pastor over this whole giant area. But you can see it has beautiful beaches along there. This old church, which looks pretty nice here with this shrub in front, and I got this one off the internet. This is what it looked like when we saw it. It's not quite as pretty or kept up. But there's a sign in front of it that says this is a historical site because this church was built in 1902 and has still been designated all through the communist era, was designated as a historical site to the Baptist. I think in the little thing it says Baptist what?
Baptist
Congregation and House of Prayer. I thought that was a nice designation for a church. House of Prayer. Oh. Is the church. Maybe that's why. So this is a house of prayer, but in the Baptist name. And this is where Sunita grew up. This is inside the church. You can see it has nice benches and everything, but the people are very, very few. Very few. There's the house that Sunita grew up in. Her parents are still there. Her father is a German who was there long, even before the Second World War. I think he was part of the community. There were a lot of Germans in that area at the time.
Ed made a lot of points when he spoke some German to that gentleman. And I wish Esther had been along because he immediately called all of his friends back in Riga and so forth. Oh, I talked to another, you know.
Yeah, and my German is pretty poor, but he just loved talking in German because he hadn't talked to anybody in German for a while. And it was funny because he was calling relatives and saying, yeah, we met this American who spoke German in Latvia. So anyway, it was interesting. But this is where Sunita lived when she met or came from when she met her husband or her boyfriend at the time and told him without any qualms, well, I'm not marrying anybody who's not a Christian. And, of course, she had this Baptist upbringing. We teach our girls right. So this is what they look like. They have two little girls now. You'll see there on in the bottoms. Asnate is the older, and Marlena is the younger one. They're a cute little couple. These are prayer requests, and this is where I want us to concentrate a little bit because this is These are the things that give us a vision for what we could do. These are prayer requests, but maybe you can see how maybe we could get involved in something. In Tulsi, we're just going to go to those three places, okay, because that's where Norris is working, and he was sort of assigned to us by them. We're praying for new members at their preaching points, especially at the Sports Center. Remember, there's that church building there in town, but it's being occupied by another group. And this is a group that's trying to reach young people into sports and that sort of thing. So Pastor Yuri, or Yuris, is the one who we're praying for. He asked, is it possible to have a baseball camp? And we said, baseball camp? And he said, yeah, there's an interest in the country in baseball. And it's never really been promoted or even taught. But there are young boys, especially, who want to learn how to play baseball. Do you think maybe your church might be involved in that? And
I said, soccer?
Well, yeah. It's just an idea he had. And I think maybe there was a baseball camp in another church somewhere with a volunteer group, and he heard about it. I don't know. But anyway, that was one idea he had, especially a way to reach the youth. And then for the renovation of the living quarters for Yuri and his family, and for the meeting rooms upstairs at the gym.
So I can just add a little about the renovations, yeah. Because you know I've done a lot of volunteer construction stuff. But there, everything in the European Union has to be, and since they're a part of the European Union, their codes apply. So I was listening to him talk about the needs at their camp that they're developing. It's just beginning, but the requirements for the wells and for electricity and the sewer systems all have to meet the standards of the whole European Union, which are a lot higher than maybe they'd had before. So that's always something that volunteers will have to deal with.
And that's the camp he's referring to is the one where they were doing the youth camp in the beginning? Yeah. So we went to that camp to see what it was like.
Yeah, in Russia, they didn't have anything other than a foundation for a building code when we went there.
Mm.
And we set the building program up.
Well, under the European Union, evidently, they've got a lot of new stuff they have to come into line with.
And then there's no control in Russia over the product. You know, like the sheetrock would be the product.
Right.
Eighth of an inch on one end,
yeah.
And an inch on the other end.
Yeah, these are EU standards now. In fact, they were kind of talking to us about how they were a little afraid because England was talking about cutting out of the EU, and they were saying if that happens, we really don't have the strength in the EU to keep Russia from coming back into these three little countries and taking over that seaport again, because they really want those countries back. But because they've joined the EU, there's some strength in the unity of that. So the EU has standards, though, that they're trying to meet in their building codes and other things. So that's what they're worrying with. Going to Roya, and I always say it a little bit wrong, it's Roya. Roya. But they're praying for members of their preaching point there that meets in his apartment. They're praying for ministries to the neighborhood children, and we put in the idea they should also reach old people. Especially, they've got these well-educated people. Mm-hmm. And surely they can do things, maybe even teach English, which they love or want to learn very badly. But anyway, we don't know what those elderly people are like, but we know that they are teachers, retired. Ministries to the summer tourist. They're thinking of ways that they can reach out and touch the lives of people. Because again, nobody knows Christ. 5% of the population has heard about him. The beaches, financial help. Norris wrote us a little letter at the end that looked like a form letter he had learned to write when he was at the Baptist Institute. But it was very touching. And one of the things he said was, you know, it would be really nice if I could get some financial support. And we could talk about that if we wanted to. But he is struggling a little bit. And you can see why. But Petrogs is that little tiny village with the little old historical church. And again, there he's trying to build that up. He called himself the pastor of that church. Well, you know, if you walked into the church, by our standards, we'd say, wow, this is set up, you know. You got everything you need. You even have a little organ, didn't they, over in the corner or something?
Pump organ,
you know, and big picture of Jesus and all kinds of stuff. And we thought, you know, this would be great. But there's just nobody attending. You know, so he's really got to start from scratch. And then for Carlos, that young fellow that's still in school, that he finishes his training, and as he ministers alongside Pastor Norris, that he will learn and use the techniques that he's learning. And then start his own preaching point, hopefully in that same region, because that's what they're interested in. Now, we didn't show you on the map, but there's a whole region, there's a whole rest of the country, and the whole region off to the east are still mostly Russian occupied, but meaning Latvians originally from Russia who are now Latvians in Latvia, but they're really Russian speaking, Russian thinking, still very much Russian in many, many ways. And so that's a kind of different ball game over there from this one. These are all Latvians. You don't see too many Russians. You might see a couple of Germans, but not much. So there's Carlos. And then they did express several times learning English as a second language. Bonnie talked about possibly doing Skype with the pastor's wife, with Sunita. And, of course, day is night, and night is day, so you'd really have to work at getting the times right. So, but you could do it. And Skype is a great way to spend some time talking and maybe getting some feedback.
He shared that his wife has to pay €7 an hour to get any English practice.
Yeah, yeah, it's expensive. Yeah,
and most Latvians, from what we've been reading, know 2.7 languages because they either know Latvian and Russian or Latvian and German.
Yeah.
And so it's...
Yeah. English is the language they like.
It can help them when they travel to other Baltic nations.
Yeah.
And a lot of their training will be done in Denmark or other places with English. So.
Yeah. They're also reaching across. Norris has a preaching point in Sweden, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he takes a ferry that goes 12 hours overnight to get to Sweden, where he meets with a small little group there. And they're trying to do what the BPI is doing in Latvia. They're trying to start a little Baptist training center. But this is called, this center in Riga is actually called the Baltic Baptist Institute. So they're really reaching out to everybody around in that area, around the Baltic Sea. So it's a really big deal, but again, very small in number and struggling in some ways. So we have English as a very important part, and they talked about, you know, possibilities of doing something there. Now, I just want to point out, one out of every 200 people you see in this crowd know about Jesus. Nobody else does. Or have ignored anything about him because they've been taught for 50 years in their school systems and everything in their government that there's only one God, and that's called communism. And all these other things are just opiates of the people and things that will bring you down. So these are people, but you can see they're happy people. They're nice people. They're beautiful people. And once a year, once every 5 years, they have this folk festival.
This is a story about ordinary people brought together by an extraordinary tradition. Singing in Latvia carries an emotional imperative. It's part of everyday life. The choral tradition goes back centuries and was vital in developing a national identity. During tough times, songs about the sun or the wind carried a message of freedom and hope. Nowhere else can these layers of history and emotion be heard as powerfully as here at the Latvian Nationwide Song and Dance Celebration.
folk songs, you know, like, you know, she'll be coming around the mountain.
A collection of thousands of folk songs, the Dinas, passed down through generations, are the foundation of this phenomenon, this movement, this celebration, which brings together people from all walks of life. Recognized the nationwide song and dance celebration as a masterpiece of the heritage of humanity. Voices reaffirm a love for our nation, our freedom, and our traditions. And so we come together to sing and to dance, time and time again.
So you can see where music is a natural outlet. Nars's wife was not in that video that I took because she was busy getting to some choir rehearsals or some rehearsals for some competition. Churches compete. They individually compete. You can go to the small communities, and the amphitheater that we have on some pictures may hold maybe, you know, 15,000. And the choir section would be less than that, of course. But when they're practicing at their local level or region level, you can see how it turns out to be that at a national level every 5 years. So it's music is another way that they get to know people, get to develop relationships. And they're, obviously then their church music is very good as well.
Very good. One out of every 200 people have heard about Jesus. Just some pictures of the people dressed up. I love those little head wreaths. They're beautiful. And the question is, can Sierra Baptist help reach the lost people of Latvia? So we're going to leave it with that. Pastor, we're just going to close this way because we're not making any suggestions. We're just saying, can you pray about it? And see what the Lord leads us to do. Okay. That's it. We're out of time. So come close us. Unless there are questions, we could take questions, but we'll be a little late then if you want. Nancy. Good question. We did ask about that and they said, well, we want the women, and in fact in one of the camp scenes, there were some girls that were there, very few. So they're not emphasizing girls' work or women's work, but it's certainly something that they would be open to. It's just they don't have any trained women.
But they do have, when we, our first day there was to spend time at the DPI, mm-hmm. and one of the ladies, I think she's sort of an assistant.
Right.
I don't know that she's
right.
Women's ministry coordinator and leader of, and the little booklet out back, you can see that. But she's finishing her doctorate at a seminary in Europe, but she's had graduate work here. So, no, there is ministry for women as well. It's just that this one happened. We highlighted Norris.
They've They've had so little time to really build up leaders that, you know, they'll start with the men and add the women. But there are some really well-trained women at the Baptist Institute. This one particular woman had studied in Oregon, wasn't it? And then is getting her doctorate now. Yeah.
So you said 95% of people are not Christians. Does that mean not any kind of Christian?
It's what they said. They said 5% includes all the Russian Orthodox, Roman Catholics, and Lutherans, and of course the little Baptists here and there.
So are those people just non-religious? Or?
50 years they've been told religion is bad. And even though they saw these beautiful buildings still around, I mean, you can't help but see some of them. They're huge. There's this one Russian Orthodox church in Riga. It's got gold, you know, everywhere, all across the top and stuff. But we went inside just to kind of see the icons and things. And there's a little group over there, about 15, 20 people that were with their priest doing their thing. Of course, I took a picture and had somebody come over and yell at me. But I don't read signs. I ask for forgiveness. Anyway, she wasn't going to give me any forgiveness. But that's the group that occupies this humongous building. You know, so, yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
Who? No. No, there was another couple that came from...
From a little town called Auberry. You know where that is? Good. You guys from Fresno.
Somewhere, so, yeah, near Fresno. Yeah.
Oakview Church up there.
Yeah.
Claremont.
And it's, I think, the BPI people together with this fellow from Highlands Baptist Church that kind of coordinated our groups that were willing to send people with the people that were looking for help. So we were coordinated with them. We didn't have any choice about who we went around with. We were happy to be with Norris, so we liked him. Yeah. Yeah.
They would go back and forth a lot.
Right.
There was no real restriction. And but this is a long time ago. Peter Gordon was a Jewish man.
Yeah.
And they had to get out. And
yeah.
They got out long before the
right.
Came in.
Yeah.
Their family was entirely desperate.
Oh yeah.
And that Christians that were there, they were sent to Siberia. They purposely got rid of the Christians.
Yeah. Especially the leaders.
Yes, the leaders were out. And
yeah.
So these new young people are coming in, but these people now are facing freedom for the first time, and they're extremely open to hearing the word of the gospel.
Great.
The old people, my family is totally out of it. It's been a long, they have no connection there at all because everybody is killed.
Right.
But it's an open place, and the European Union is waiting for an influence, and they are really fed up.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I really recommend.
Well, and Hitler's Nazis, of course, took the Jews all out immediately.
Petrus, the head of BPI, his parents were taken, and they were children at that time, to Siberia. Luckily, they were able to make it back.
Yeah, they came.
Their
back.
Farm was completely decimated, but they did get ownership back of the property that they did have. So, but nothing was left. I mean, they
at independence, yeah, the Latvian government was real good about trying to put back things that had been. Yes?
I think when I was doing research on teaching church history in Tanzania, one of the things that I discovered was a huge draw to Christianity in the first century were Christian marriages.
Mm.
And what I heard from this draft thing is that they're trying to develop these young men. Norris himself was struck by Edgar's, you know, relationship in the home, and that drew him. And so I really think this is why the emphasis on the young men, so that they will grow up to be
strong
men who will take wives and cherish them. And then, I mean, honestly, Christian marriage in the first century was one of the huge draws to Christianity from the pagan.
Yeah. They did tell us statistics about divorce. I think it was like 50, it was over 50% of the people have been divorced. And of course, they don't have Christ, so what do they have?
Yeah. like a president for their government every 4 years, or is it a king?
I didn't even
it's
look
a
into it.
It's a parliament, sort of parliament. Like patterning after Europe, and it can.
5 years, but he is. I did look that up.
Okay, good, because I didn't. So it's a democratic government. All right. Well, we wanted you to meet the people that we met because they touched our hearts. But again, we're a small church. I don't know what we can do. But I know God can use us in some way. So let's pray about that and let Him show us some of these things. And you can kind of get a picture of what their needs are. And maybe visualize what God could do. Ann.
You gave a list of prayer requests. Is that prayer request list on something?
I can print them up. Yeah, I can print them up and we'll put them. I can put them in a little bulletin insert next week. How's that? Okay, good. Also, we have some of those inserts we had in the last few weeks are still on the table, and some questions and answers that Nancy did up there. Some other things on the table you can take home if you missed one of those Sundays. You can get those out there. So look at our little table and see what's out there.
I need to repeat it because they repeated it to us and other people that have been over there a lot. Whatever we do, if we decide to do something, you better do it, because they will just be very standoffish, and you that have been overseas know you've probably shared the same thing. You have, anyway. They don't want just, you know, friendship just for hi-bye type of thing. So if we develop some relationships over 3 to 5 years, people have been helping them, but sometimes the help is only for a week or two, and then they hear nothing for the rest of the time. But when I could call my wife via Skype, I didn't have the video. I could have, but didn't take that time. We can be connected to them daily, every morning or every evening. It'll be a good time to be connected with them.
11 hours time difference, and that's the same as Tanzania. And we love that. It's perfect. You can call in the morning or you can call in the evening, and you can always get them. You're never calling like at 5 in the morning like you are
some other places.
Great time.
We didn't pull it off. Another couple did. They did the announcements from Latvia in their church at Albury on Sunday morning.
They
just turned it on and they
and
gave the announcements
to
just to show that we can be connected like that.
Yeah, they would really like a relationship, and we've talked about, well, how would that work? Well, we would want to make a time limit, and it might be 2 years, you know, to be in relationship with them. But we didn't promise them anything, okay? And we made it very clear to them. We were fact-finding. We were looking at possibilities, but we weren't committed to anything to them. And they understood that. But they just were saying, we would like to have a church that's established that will partner, with us, even in prayer or whatever. Well, yeah, and we're not making a proposal that we need to vote on at this point. We're just saying, what do you think?
You could use church council. I mean, people who would be interested could go to church council and say, hey, could we do, you know, learn how to teach English as a second language?
Yeah.
Do that with scraping. You know, just converse with the women of the
church. Just, if you have email, just send us an email and tell us what you're thinking. Yeah. We can get back to you on that.
So are we giving this non-proposal to church council?
I don't know. What do you want to do?
We don't do something.
Yeah. We need to do something. You're right. We didn't come with a recommendation, but we would like to hear if you want to make a recommendation for us to consider it further or to have a group study it or bring a proposal that the church would vote on. I guess it would go to the council, would be a good place for it to come from as a proposal to the church.
Right. Our council meeting
Well, we are, but are we ready to make a decision for, you know, on Wednesday? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And what do you?
Yes.
Kitchen is what we're looking at Wednesday. Yeah, yeah. So Anne, what? Anne has something she wanted to say. What is it?
Mm-hmm. If several groups just to get on and talk about it.
Right. Okay, well, if we could set a date for a meeting to talk about a proposal, that would be best. Yeah. So those who are interested in that, what is a good date for that? Would you want to meet on a Sunday night again? Or and just, if you wanted, maybe not everyone wants to meet in the smaller group. We could maybe meet at a separate time or in a separate room or whatever. I don't care. Whatever you want to do. Anybody got a suggestion? How many people? Let's do this. Show of hands. How many people would like to meet in a group to talk about possibilities? Well, that's a pretty big group. So I think maybe we should just take some more time in the evening.
I'd also like to get that prayer list to help
right.
What I would like to talk about.
Okay. Okay, I'll do that for next Sunday in the bulletin. Then we'll have that. Yes, Faye.
But doesn't it touch your heart to see those young men out there?
Oh, yeah.
We just cry for young men.
We do.
I know.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, there's that, and of course they're young, so they're looking at young. I'm old, and I'm looking at old. I keep thinking those old people should be reached, because they're lost too, you know.
The young men are going to raise their kids.
That's
what,
true.
What struck me was they were intentional. They said, when you come to draft camp, you can't come alone. Oh. You have to bring someone with you.
Uh-huh.
And we want you to look for someone in your church, in your neighborhood, may not know Christ. Mm-hmm. He can come because you can see that first level is just to get them to know, maybe make a decision for the Lord.
Yeah. And the three levels are very intentional. By the way, we didn't see it in the camp pictures, but there is a river that runs through the camp, and that's where one of the first Baptist baptisms, ever took place is in that river. So it's a historical site as well for Baptists.
Their discipleship program is really cool. I mean, it's in a square, and he showed it on his flip chart. So there's four stages that they're constantly circling in, and they're constantly taking on new, showing one. He then, you know, it's, you know, being in the military, I know what it means to, you know, put things in an order and follow through, and they're following through, and it's just cool.
Yeah, it's a good program of mentoring and showing them how and then letting them do it and watching them and then letting them do it on their own. So it's a really nice program. Okay, we got enough to go on. So, Pastor, can you work with us on a date for another Sunday night? And maybe we can...
Next Sunday is Mother's Day.
Right, and we're not meeting.
Sunday will be the 15th.
Okay.
We could give us a couple of weeks to think about it.
Okay. Okay, so the 15th. Sure. All right. So come with some ideas that we want to act on, okay? And again, they're not expecting anything. But anything we do would be helpful. So, yeah.
If you've got that, why don't you shoot that list to Brenda?
Okay.
And she can email it. We've got
it. Oh, sure. We could do it that way. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'll send it to Brenda. Right, good idea.
Some of them don't have email, but we still send them.
Sure.
Naris has a Facebook page, so...
Yeah, you could get on his Facebook and see some things. Naris Groudens. Groudens. And it's really interesting because if his wife is using his last name, she puts an A on the end of it to show that it's a woman. So they use funny little endings like that. So it's Groudens if you're talking about him, but it's Groudina if you're talking about her. I don't know how that works, but they know. Is it? Yeah. So, Pastor, if you'd close us, we've gone a little over time. Forgive us for that.
I don't think we're over time when we think about what the Lord wants us to do. What I suggest, I don't know what you think about in general, but you may think about what you would like to do yourself. What would I like to, how would I like to be involved? Because that's where it's going to come down to. Do I want to Skype? Do I want to whatever areas? And have the Lord sense that I believe God has something for us in this, and we need to find out a little more clearly, specifically, how He wants to do that. But I appreciate the two guys that went, and Ed and Nancy, our missions coordinators, so they may have some ideas. And we say, God, help us. He'll show us what to do, how to get. And it may be a learning process. As we may start one thing, then we move into something else. So it's not necessarily we have to do it all at once, but say, okay, this is one step we can take, and then we look for other areas where we can contact. So let's trust the Lord to guide in that. All right, anything else? Well, let's pray. Dear Lord, do you know?